life can be, you know, pretty routine. For me, I have a routine, whether I plan it or not, that I generally go through. And with the exception of some unexpected occurrence or something that comes up that breaks into that routine, I'm very comfortable, you know, getting up in the morning, reading the Word, you know, working with my wife to make breakfast, whatever may be the case, and just getting about my business for the day, whatever it may be. So I like that. But, you know, I found in life that these routines that we have, they get broken into, and things can change in a big hurry. How many of you parents here? Or were parents? You know, I mean, you still have children, but your grandparents, whatever. Well, you know that when a new baby comes into the house, I mean, that's just one little baby. But everything that prepares for that baby, the room gets prepared, there's a crib, there's a bassinet, then the baby comes and everything changes. The whole routine changes. Everything's focused right around that little baby till we all get settled in. That's kind of how it is. And sometimes in the kingdom of God, it's like that with a new person coming into the church. The same thing can happen where there's a whole bunch of excitement that takes place and it's kind of good. But other things really impact us and change the way we now live and break us out of the routine. The loss of a job, for one thing. You're going along fine, you're paying your bills, and all of a sudden there's no work. And you have no income. And you're wondering, how am I going to make things happen? And those kinds of things that take place like that, they either challenge us, or whatever they do, they force us to consider where we are in life, and then we have to make changes. We have to make choices. And sometimes the choices we make are really good. Sometimes they're not so good. And one thing I found about change and choices and changes is that everything has some wonderful benefits at times, but there's always these what we would call unexpected consequences. You ever experienced those? You know, you say, well, what I'm going to do is, my wife, for example, I've talked about this many times, but she likes it very dark in the room where we sleep. I could sleep with the light with the sun coming in the window. As a matter of fact, if I lay down on this floor right now, I probably could go to sleep. That's just, you know, once you're over 40 and you get into a prone position, you'll go to sleep. You tend to rest. At least I do. So we have all of this dark in the room. Well, one day I used the bathroom at night, and I came out, and I don't know whether it was I that left the door or she left the door that way. The door was partly open, and now she walked out and went into that room, and instead of walking directly into the bathroom, she walked straight into that door. Whack! Big black eye, etc. Unintended consequence of walking in the dark. So, she happened to go to the eye doctor, and he said to her, okay, what happened? Why do you have this black eye? And she told him what happened. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? And she says, I'll walk like this now. So, however, if your arms are not close enough, you can still run into that door. You know. And one of the things that is interesting about the ability that we have to make choices, I want you to think about it. We can reason as human beings. And we have that ability, it's a God-given ability to humanity, to be able to think, to reason, to plan. One aspect of that is what we call free will. And no matter what we do with these choices, it is our free will at work. God never removes from you your free will. It is a gift from God. And at times it is a tremendous blessing, but if we misuse it, it can be a terrible cursing in our life. Because one thing I find is with every choice that you make, there is a consequence. And you're going to have those consequences, and you could be dealing with them. Listen, you make a bad choice in the spouse that you choose to marry, you could wind up with years and years of difficult times working through it. Many wind up in divorce, which is a shame, because most things can be worked out. Nonetheless, choices are important. Free will is always ours, always our right to choose. But the consequences of what we do, what we say, we're going to pay that. Consequences. All choices have consequences. A goal of this message is to encourage you to consider the wonderful gift of life that God has given you and encourage you to always consider carefully and choose what is of the greater and lasting value. Choose the good. We can sort that out because what we need to know about right choices is found right in this book, believe it or not. It's here. The Spirit of God can speak to us through this and basically direct us in His way by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. You can't go wrong with the Word of God if you take it in context. That's an important thing too. In her message, that is Derry's message last week of what value, Pastor Derry focused on our attention on how various people placed a value on the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember how Judas, he placed the price of 30 pieces of silver. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus had very little value to him. And some people placed a greater value on him, some less. And it was a very interesting message, probably. If you haven't heard it, you should. I think it's one of the best messages that Pastor Derry has preached in her time here at the church, and she always does a good job. But that was had a special impact, and I think each of us were moved by the love of a friend, by that Vietnamese, that illustration of that Vietnamese young boy that gave a blood transfusion thinking that they were going to take all of his blood and that he would die. And why did he do it? He gave it for a friend. Well, someone did that for you. His name is Jesus. He gave you all that he had. And that tells you how much love he had for you. But it also tells you of what great value you were and are. Some of us don't value ourselves highly enough. Some value ourselves too highly than we ought. We make comparisons. But we need to know that we're of value to God and we have a purpose in God. In the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter, Jesus said this, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And perhaps reflecting on God's love for us will better enable us to consider how much, as I said, we're valued and loved by Him and how much we value and love Him. You see, there's a reciprocal relationship here. God loves us and God called us to Himself. He paid the price for us. Literally, He purchased us. We belong to Him. Now, do we belong to Him? Do we see ourselves as He sees us? In other words, are we counting what He did and His love? Are we just, just kind of fluffing it off? Or are we responding to that love in the manner in which He has called us to respond? Again, God's love is seen in what He did in choosing us and sending His only begotten Son to die for us. I want you to remember this too. It's hard to understand this because as we look at the Scripture, it's kind of like some people just think that there's just this open door and everybody goes through it. But that's not what God said. And although if I look at doctrine in the Bible, and like I said, doctrine's important, it would seem to me, as it seems to many others, that anyone, in other words, there's a general call that goes out from God to all men, all humanity. Christ died for all people. But it seems that He has also chosen people and predestined them for adoption as sons. So, do you know if you're chosen or not? I will tell you this, I've or debated this with some, and I know in some churches many years ago, back down south, they had boxes. And these boxes were for the elect. And when a person believed that they were the elect, on Sunday mornings, they sat in that box, wherever it was, the elect box. Now, what do I think about that? I think that's very interesting. In other words, they knew that they knew that they knew in their heart that if they died today, they would go to heaven. Well, that's eternal life. That's something we should all know in our relationship with God. Not what we believe, but something that we know deeply within ourselves. God can do that for you when you receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit will come and seal you, and you will know that you know that you know. Not that you just believe, but you know it. But I would say this. The best way that I would look at it is this. If I am elect of God and chosen of God, then I ought to live that way. I ought to live for God. So on that day when the Lord appears, I am found doing what God called me. I have nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing hidden. I just am ready for Him. And His second return is closer than it was yesterday, today. No matter how you want to look at it, I don't know all of the times. Nobody knows the day of the day, but we're seeing a lot of things just happen in our societies right now around the world. It's an amazing time that we're living in. But 50 years ago, it looked that way too. When we had 55 wars going on at one time. Right now, the world is pretty much at peace in many, many areas. There's some tension. But world leaders are talking. Various things are happening. But still, you can't judge everything just by the present, the present things that are happening in the culture. If you do, you can go wrong with it, because we've had waves like this, seasons like this throughout history. But some have been a lot worse than others, and we're a pretty bad one right now. So, what do? We be faithful to the Lord. So, I want to talk a little bit to you from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 14. This is the scripture that the Lord gave me last week and last night when I set myself to examine this. I thought, well, you know, this is where He wants me today and what He wants to speak to you today. And it's about your life. And I'm going to compare your life to Jesus' life. And just for the record, the title of the message is, No One Can Take My Life From Me. I want you to think about that. You might say, well, somebody can rise up and shoot me. I can get run over by a car. That's true. But we're talking about the life that you live. Jesus is talking about something else, but we'll relate it to you. So let's begin reading at verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. So let's make it clear. There may be many shepherds in the churches that we have. A pastor is called the shepherd. Quite frankly, small group leaders are shepherds in certain groups that we have, holistic small groups. The person that runs that group is a shepherd in that group. But what I'm saying, we're a pastor, you would think of it that way. But the thing is, I want to just say this. We're all going to be one, but there is one great shepherd, and His name is Jesus. And He looks at the whole of all of His people, all over the earth, both alive and dead, and that is with Him in heaven, the saints in heaven, as we read in Hebrews 12, and those who are still with us here on the earth. So He goes on to say this, I have other sheep, as I said, of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Very interesting. But no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority or the power to lay it down, and I have the authority or the power, to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. I'd like to talk to you about this verse. It's an important verse for a number of reasons. First of all, Jesus, the Son of God, has such a great love for us that he chose to give up his equality with God because he was spirit with God. Same as God is spirit, he was spirit. He chose to take on flesh and to come amongst us that he might redeem us, he might purchase us back from sin, from death, and punishment, that we might have a relationship with him, we might receive eternal life, that we might know him, love him, serve him, and one day be with him in heaven and be raised up, our bodies, physical bodies raised up, that we would have a body like his, a resurrected body on the last day. And I believe we have a different kind of a body when we pass from this life into the next, because if we didn't, then we couldn't be clothed, but God was going to clothe us with something else or receive robes, as we do see in Revelation. But that's another story. So let's move on here. So we have the same ability to some extent, with the exception that he will one day... Okay, so we have the same ability. That is, that no one can take our life from us. That life is ours. He has given us this life. And we can choose to live this life how we choose to live it. We can live it for ourselves. We can live it for the devil. We can live it for him, or a combination of both, some sort of a mixed thing, which kind of gets confusing and has no guarantees with it. So as I look at this, I find that a couple of things we should take a look at here. First of all, if you'll note here, he says here, verse 16, he said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Well, salvation comes through Israel. Christ came and he was born a Jew. But basically what he's saying is, he's looking ahead to you, folks that are sitting here right now today. He's looking ahead to you, because you don't come from the tribe of Israel, but you come and become a son and daughter of Abraham through faith in Christ. And the covenants of Abraham are yours, as are the blessings that all fall to you in Christ. You're a covenant people. So that's number one. He loves you, and he died for you, laid down his life for you right from the beginning. You are not a second thought. In the Old Testament, you'll see that he will be a light to the Gentiles, that he's one that comes to save the world, not just the Jewish people. So that's an important thing for you to remember. That's number one. You're chosen that way. As a matter of fact, as you look at the passage that we just read, it is really rich. It is deep. And the good shepherd knows his sheep just as the Father knows the Son. Do you realize the intimacy that he is expressing to us here? As the Father knows the Son, they're one. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows your fears. He knows your courage. And he wants you to know him like he knows you. That's the whole point here. See, Christianity is really about a relationship with the living God. And from that relationship, everything just seems to flow and work out. Secondly, as I said, when I read that, I heard him speaking of me, of the sheep. I also hear, as I read that scripture, that you are so greatly loved and valued that he was willing to give up everything he had, equality with God, being omnipresent, that means being in all places at the same time, omnipowerful, omnipotent, meaning having all power to do anything, to speak to things that don't exist and they come into me. Omniscient, knowing all things at all times, in all places. Nothing hidden, not in the whole universe, not in the cosmos. Everything. He knows everything. Even the number of grains of sand that are on the beach. He knows it all. Now that's what he gave up. Being quality with God, to be like you. So you know that you can relate to him. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to have pain. He knows what it is to, to be betrayed. He knows everything that you will experience in life. He knows about it. He can feel it. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be, how would I put it, in a place where you might feel like God doesn't hear you and nobody hears you. You're just alone. He understands it all. And that's why you can come to Him at any time and speak to Him and know that He understands you. He understands you completely and loves you. So if you want to find our life in Christ, so let me read further on. On this life that you have, no one can take it from you. You have that free choice to exercise and use your life as you wish. You say, well, I talked about the death part early on, but what about if you went to prison and you were judged incorrectly? You did nothing wrong. Well, when Paul was in prison, what happened? He used his imprisonment to write letters. He used his imprisonment to further the gospel. He used his imprisonment to draw closer to the Lord, not further away. See, some of us get into a jam like that, and what do? We get all upset with God. We blame God. Why me? Why did this happen to me? Why should this happen to me? I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. Well, you know what? You deserved eternal punishment, and you've been delivered from that to eternal life with God in heaven. Did you deserve that? No, you didn't earn that. He earned it for you. He purchased it for you with His own life. So we have to remember that. So if we want to find our life in Christ, we must choose to follow Him. In Matthew 16, beginning at verse 24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, right? Take up his cross and follow me." And basically, it says this. Let him say, okay, it's not about me. It's about God who called me. That's being a disciple. And basically, I'm going to go on a journey with him. Come on a journey with me. Let me take up my cross and follow him. What's the cross for? Well, because the self-life in this material world always keeps calling us back to serve ourselves and look out for ourselves. Nothing wrong with some of those things, but the whole idea is when you find your purpose in God, you find out that God takes care of you as you're going along. When we keep trying to save ourselves, it doesn't work. We're always in a cycle, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then we get to the bottom of the cycle and everything's wrong. We call on God. We give ourselves over to God. God delivers us out of the situation. We're doing good. Then the next thing you know, we're in charge again of our life. And we have to keep learning in these things and going through these cycles until finally we just let that old self be nailed to the cross and die and just put our trust completely in the Lord and move forward. So that's the way it works. So he says this, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." Remember I said, now Jesus said he just gave his life. He laid his life down and he could pick it up again. But look at what Jesus is saying to us now. If we lose our life in him, then we save our life. So in a sense, we're doing the same thing he did, only not quite the same way, because he had the power, of course, to raise himself from the dead. And the Bible will teach you that he raised himself from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead, and the Father raised him from the dead. All three are mentioned in the New Testament in raising Christ from the dead. And believe me, all three need to be working in to raise us up from our sorry conditions at times. He'll do that. And he says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So as followers of Christ, we'll always struggle between the natural things that surround us that can distract us from the spiritual things that are eternal. And there's much more we can say to this single issue, as is illustrated in the book of Malachi. And we'll just see what happened with Malachi and the people of Malachi just for a moment, that basically to benefit us in serving God. And basically the people of Malachi's day, I'll give you a little brief history very quickly here. What happened was these are people that were returned from the Babylonian captivity. 70 years Israel was in captivity. They came back. They reestablished worship. They did all of these things, but they were really sloppy about it. They had never really come back to God, all of them, as they should have. And so basically, they were doing everything from the priest, what shall I say, offering blind animals. And God challenges them and he says to them, what do you do? You give me this? Go take this blind sheep to your governor and see what he says. So in other words, they were men pleasers rather than God pleasers. But as we read in Malachi, we find a little bit of this. People will get into a point, they say, what's the difference? What's the difference if I give to God, if I tithe? What's the difference if I serve God? What's the difference if I show up and basically do the things that God's called me to do? Look at the other people here. They're not doing that, and they're blessed. They have everything that I have. It makes no difference whether I serve God or I don't serve God. I'm wasting my time serving God. And God had something to say to them, and this is what he said. And in here you'll find yourself in some place in this scripture. Your words, the Lord says, have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is vain, it is empty to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning, that is, humbly, before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the arrogant blessed, because we see these people are doing that, and they still look like they're prospering. He says, so we call them blessed. And not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but also they test God and escape. It looks like there's no judgment. They can get away with whatever they're doing. And God has taken account of this. See, God loves us, so he's slow to judge. Very slow to make a judgment. Because he's giving us time to turn. Time to come back to him. And then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. I love it. So the saints got together, so to speak. And what did they say? They gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. And here's what God said. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his only son who serves him. And then you have the parable of the sower. There's another example of this as you go through it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. He's explaining it. And what has been sown in his heart. So basically the soils really are the people, your heart. And then he goes on to say this. This is the one whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on seed sown in the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He's all excited. But he has no firm root in himself. It's only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one whom the seed sown on the thorns, this is the man who hears the word. But the worry of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. No one can take your life from you. You and I will decide by our free will who and what we will do with our life, who we will give our life to. And that's a choice that you make. Who will you give your life to? And we have to have this at times in our life, another reaccounting of this, because of life is cluttered. There's a lot of things that go on. You know that. There's ups and there's downs. And so we have to take account of this every so often in our life and say, where are we standing with God? Am I good soil? Let's make the soil good. Let's get rid of some of these thorns. Let me put things in perspective and do the things that are right and the things that are true and get right with God in this. So every day we make decisions on what we will give our time and our energy to. If you're a parent, I'm going to make this simple for you. Sounds like a hard word, but it's not. Let me just make it simple for you. One of the problems that makes sometimes the word seem so difficult, so what do I do? I can't do this. It's beyond me. Of course it's beyond you. You got to trust God. If you're a grandparent or a parent and you have input into your grandchildren, love them. Yeah, it's okay to take them for ballet lessons. It's okay to get them involved in the gymnastics or baseball or whatever it might be, or basketball. But the whole thing is, don't lose sight of this. That's something that helps them as they in their development with other children. But if you're not mixing the Word of God, if you're not taking time to be in the Word of God yourself, if you're not sharing with them the love of God for them, if you're not, how would I say, expressing these things to them and pointing to them how God is working in their life and in nature around them, you're missing it. But it's not hard. If you're a husband, if you're a wife, how you treat one another in front of your children, or how you treat one another, period, if you don't have any children. How you treat with respect and with honor. How you take your wife and you see her as a special vessel and treat her that way. Why, she is. You know, right now, I'm married to the most beautiful girl in the world. I just want you to know that. And I want her to know that. Now, wait a minute. Is Dairy really the most beautiful girl in the world? She is to me. She's the only one I have right now. You follow me? That's how you have to look at life around you. That's how you have to look at your children too. So this, just keep these things in mind. If you're working for a company, don't be discouraged. Things may not be going good. But don't work for the company. Work for the Lord. Serve the company that you're in, your fellow employees and the people around you, like you would serve Jesus Christ himself. That's the kind of a person you want to be. Is that hard to do? No. If you're a grumbler, yes. But if you're thankful for the job that you have when people don't have jobs, listen, just do what you can. Do the best that you can. Do the best that you have. And ask God for help to go beyond that. So that's the kind of things that you want to do. So every day, we make those decisions. And again, there's a lot of other things I could say about that, but the simple things of life are the things that God wants you to live for Him. And you have seasons of life. And in every season, you never quit. The season goes on. Well, I had kids in the church, and I worked in children's church, and I did this and I did that. Well, I'm past that now. My kids have grown up. Wait a minute. Do you have a gift for that? You know, it's interesting. We're looking at our children's church ministers, we'll call them, that are working with the kids. And we find out that only one has a teaching gift. And two others, we know, have shepherding gifts. And you know, the interesting thing is, as Angie was pointing out to me, you can see how those that have the shepherding gift, how they work with the children. They get them in a little, don't you think that works and they learn in that environment? Children learn in so many different ways. You learn in different ways. Some are hands-on learners. Some can learn by hearing something. Others learn by seeing it. Others learn by, you know, as I said, doing it. So the whole point is we just watch how people exercise their gifts. We need to know your gifts so we can honor those gifts and help you expand on them and grow. And our church is gift-based. In other words, we can only do here according to the gifts that God has given us. That's what we're doing. So let me close this with this. It's not difficult, but it requires an effort to live by faith and keep God in all that you do. Keep Him where you drive Him, keep Him when you're blessing the food, everything. Encourage one another. Don't complain, but look at the many blessings that you have received from the Lord. There's only one thing that will remain consistent throughout your life, no matter the situation you find yourselves in, or we find ourselves in, and that is the faithfulness of God and our relationship with Him. Can you say amen this morning? Let's stand together.